thing that if something comes in a package, but if you don't unwrap that package, you can never experience what's there. When you go to stores, isn't it something how you buy packages and then the packaging is absolutely beyond belief at times when I see things, but there's still something there inside that is so treasured. I was looking at some packaging for tomatoes and how they were small tomatoes and they were put in this perfect little package that was a bowl and all you had to do is pull the top off. But if I were not to pull that top off, I would never experience what is in that package. What we're going to do today is we're going to unpack these things that God has placed within us so that we can begin to experience the promises that he's made for us. So starting now, he said, to the mature, we impart this wisdom. So what is he saying? There's a difference between mature and immature. Immature walk in foolishness. They continue to walk in the ways of this world. That's why he was so clear with this letter that he writes to this church at Corinth, because he wants to correct them. Because he calls them and he says, in the next chapter, he talks about this and the level of their immaturity. Why? The evidence is clearly witnessed. They are fighting with one another, bickering with one another. That's immaturity. I was talking with someone this last week on the phone, and she's a mom with three young children, and she lives down in Lower Wisconsin. And her kids were just bickering back and forth. She had me on speakerphone. And I was thinking, wow, the sign of a child is selfishness. I want my way. Her little boy had a bicycle, his sister wanted it. Immaturity causes bickering, selfishness. So there was bickering and selfishness in this church. And Paul is telling them, I want you to be mature. I want you to understand it's better to give than receive. They were so focused on what they were going to get that they were literally taking people that were followers of Christ, who they believed had wronged them, and they were taking them into the secular judicial system to be judged. And Paul's saying, why are you doing this? It's causing such great harm into the body. He's saying, I want you to mature in this, where it's better to give than receive. Isn't that what Jesus said? See, only a mature person, a follower of Christ, will understand that. Because they'll understand the gifts of God that have been given to them to be like a river of God through them and flow out of them. So it's not about what you possess or what you can acquire or attain. It's about God saying, oh, if you would understand the deeper principles here, it's about what you're giving. We watched a video last week at church. It's from CBS On the Road, and it's about a man from Liberia, and his name's Joel, and he began to ask people on Facebook for help, and he wanted to start a business. And so this guy wrote back to him from Colorado, and he could, because he believed he was a scammer that was just looking for money. And this guy said to him, I'm going to send you a camera, take a bunch of pictures of your country, and then send them back to me. And so this man did, and he realized, hey, this guy has some abilities with, and so he put those in a booklet, and he contacted Joel, and the relationship that's been built over these last few years. And the title of this booklet was By the Grace of God, because Joel is a follower of Christ. And now when he went, and this man from Utah or went to see him in Colorado, he said, and they had a film crew with them. And here's this man who's taking the proceeds. He has six or seven children there in Liberia, but he's not only providing for them, but he's providing for the school because of the proceeds. Why? And by the grace of God. And what does Joel say? He says this, it is better to give than receive. You can see that he's a mature follower of Christ. Paul is saying, you need to walk in maturity. So if we don't understand the principles, why did Jesus say forgive? Forgive as you've been forgiven. Because he doesn't want you to carry the weight of resentment and bitterness. Paul was writing to these Corinthian church, and he's saying, man, you've been holding bitterness and anger and resentment and strife against people. Forgive them. Don't take them to court. They were operating in sexual immorality. Paul says, don't you understand that you're driven by these passions that are literally bringing such destruction into your own life? Family units were being broke apart. So Paul is confronting people that were immature, and he's saying to them, you have to leave those things behind. Remember what he said? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. I thought like a child. But when I've become a man, I put away childish things. When you know the Spirit of Christ living inside of you, you need to rise up and mature. And not only are you a taker, but you're a giver. You're operating. So what does he go on to say? That although the wisdom of this age and the rulers of this age, they're doomed to pass away. So he's saying is immaturity, this carnal way of living to your flesh, is going to all pass away. It will not matter. When people do things that are so self-focused, obsessed with their own pleasure, those are things that it says are doomed. You think of that word doomed. It means there's no way out of that place where it is headed for destruction. It's going to pass away. But when we do things with spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, we are doing things that will never pass away. And when you begin to sow into those places where you see, man, this next week we're going to pour concrete at our camp down in Clam Lake for a worship pavilion that we're building. I believe this, that what we're going to build there is going to be someplace where kids can come in and in greater numbers experience the plan of God for their life, the presence of God. Is that concrete and all the things going to pass away? Certainly it is. But there's something that's not going to pass away, and it's going to be done. What's happened with the kids that come and experience, oh man, God is real. His Spirit is real. He speaks to me. He has a plan for my life. Those things will never pass away. I believe that God calls us to invest in things that we use that are temporal, that accomplish something that is eternal. Investing in things that are temporal, but that ultimately accomplish something that is eternal. This last week, we did a big thing at our farm property for kids. We had probably well over 100 people at the White Barn property. And people say, well, you were just giving hay rides and kids were doing face painting and all these things. The love of Christ was being witnessed and shown to kids. So we're investing our time and our talents in things that we might seem, well, this is temporary. I'm just showing up and I'm bringing hay bales for the kids to go on a hay ride out through the fields. That's temporary. No, what you're doing is you're showing the love of Christ to people. So those things will never pass away. God's imparted to us, it says in verse 7, this secret, this hidden wisdom of God, that God's decreed this before the ages. And so he's given us the secret. And what is the secret? Paul goes on to say the secret is found in the Son of God. The secret comes through Christ. When Jesus said, come and follow me, he said, I want you to experience the abundant life. I want you to experience the life where you've been forgiven and you forgive. The life where you can experience a peace and a joy that you don't know. That's the secret. And see, the world was looking for something completely different, because they were looking for a king. The Jews were looking for a king that was to be their Messiah and their Savior, but he wasn't coming as someone that would bow down and wash their feet. That was not. The secret was there in serving. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. They were looking for a king that they would serve. And Jesus was the Messiah, the King that was serving them. It was a secret. But those who listen and those who hear, those who would hear Jesus saying, I do the things only that my Father tells me to do. I and the Father are one. They were not listening. Jesus was giving them clues and evidence that he was the Messiah, but they didn't. It says here, none of the rulers of this age understood. Remember me, there's some people today that don't understand. You're listening and you're thinking, this is just confusing to me. Could it be because the Spirit of Christ does not live inside of you? Because Jesus promised us the Spirit. He said, I go away. The Spirit comes to convict. The Spirit comes to draw. And until people understand that, they're like going through life with blinders on. That's why Jesus called those religious rulers blind guides. They didn't have a clue where they were leading because they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. Maybe today you have no idea what I'm speaking about, but God's Holy Spirit is coming to you and it's convicting you. That's when you're stepping out of that darkness, out of that deafness, and beginning to experience, this is true. What he's saying right now is true. I've been living in confusion or bitterness or hopelessness, but what's being spoken to me right now is giving clarity into my mind. I'm understanding this. See, you're coming out of the spirit of this age to understand the Spirit of Christ, the eternal Spirit, the one that calls us and the one that's promised us. And then he says, I have something so great for you, it's beyond what you can even understand. Your eye can see, your ear can hear, your heart can even imagine what God's prepared for those who love him. Isn't that amazing? But that is only experienced when we're willing to trust him. See, when he says God's prepared, you say, I have my own future prepared. I have my own plans prepared. I want to do it my own way. I heard the story of this man this last week that he came to under a convicting of the Holy Spirit. And he knew that what was being shared with him was right and it's true and that he needed to surrender his life to Christ. But he wouldn't. He said, no, I want to do my own thing. I have my rest of my life to live. I don't want to surrender my life to Christ. I want to do my own thing. I want to have my own fun. Years later, this same man was encountered. And he'd went off and he'd done his own thing and he'd found out that it was a dead-end street. And then he was searching and seeking. But isn't it something that we go our own way and experience our, it's like the prodigal son. I'll do it my own way. I'll go my own direction. And the father says, I have so much more for you if you stay here. If you come and be a part of what I'm doing. No, I'm going to do my own thing. I pray that men that have went and women that have went and done their own thing would experience that same thing that the prodigal son experienced. When he all of a sudden, what does it say about the prodigal son? It says he came to his senses. He came to his senses. That means he began to listen and understand with something more than just about his own carnal pleasure as his fixation or focus. All of a sudden, he began to realize, man, I'm in the place of need. When we understand the Spirit says, searches all things here in verse 9, 10. Even the depths of God. So the Spirit is the one that comes and he begins to search these things out. What's out of order in your life? This is an area that you need to focus on. And what a wonderful thing it is when God's Holy Spirit convicts us. No, the way you talked to that person was not right. You need to seek them out and seek their forgiveness, the reconciliation. See, what Paul is writing here is to mature believers. That he says, you need to be the ones that go out and you're led by the Spirit. Remember what we talked about earlier? For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God, the sons of God, the daughters of God, those who are led by the Spirit. I'm not just doing my own thing today. I want to live the way Christ has called me to live. For who knows the spirit of a man except that, who knows the person's a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person who is in him? So also, no one is able to comprehend the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. Oh, I'm so thankful for this, that we have not received the spirit of this world. Think of the spirit of this world. The spirit of this world operates totally different from the wisdom of God. Operates by manipulation, intimidation, domination. You think about what we're experiencing right now and the confusion. Why is it that leaders, those leaders that we have been entrusted with, operate with such control, manipulation, intimidation, domination, all those things that I just talked about? It's because they operate from the wisdom, the spirit of the wisdom of this world. But when you step out of that, you begin to understand the spirit of Christ who lives inside of you, and you want to walk in the truth. Jesus said, if you know this truth, you will walk in freedom. So if you walk in the spirit of the truth of Christ, you walk in the freedom that's promised. But if we continue to resist that and rebel against that, we will walk in the confusion of this world. We will say, it's about what I get. It's about what I need. And all of a sudden, what that does is it brings separation. It brings division. We impart this words to you, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, says in verse 13. Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So that's the option for you and I. It was what Paul's, the reader of this, In the book of Corinthians here, they were saying, am I spiritual? Or am I led by my own carnal appetites, my own carnal things, my own me first? Or am I a spiritual person that understands these principles, that understands these principles about serving and living in a place of generosity and forgiving others? When we begin to understand that, all of a sudden, it's like a key. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. These are the keys to the kingdom that unlock these spiritual truths into our life. So this week, when we operate by the spiritual wisdom of God, we don't bring strife and division, self-centeredness into situations. We bring peace. Because why? We've been given the spirit of peace, who is Christ. And we are called peacemakers. We are called those that live in a place where we're building up. We're not tearing down people down with our words. We're building, we're encouraging people because we're being orchestrated. These things are being orchestrated by God's Spirit in us. You can see things that are of the flesh, can't you? Things that cause all these things that Paul is confronting here, we can see them right now in our world. But the man and the woman of God that is spiritually mature and understanding is able to discern these things and say, no, I understand. So when these things take place, you're saying, oh, I fully understand these. I'm not confused by any of these things. I'm not confused by when I see such manipulation taking place in our society and such confusion. I'm not manipulated by any of those things. No, I understand what's really happening because God's Spirit is inside of me. The natural man does not accept, it says in verse 14, the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. For he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Are we living in our own natural minds, understanding things by our own intellect, our own wisdom? Or are we understanding things by the Spirit of Christ who is in us, and we are beginning to discern these things that are taking place? Because when we do, all of a sudden it gives us, oh, that clarity that comes. Today, Christ wants to fill your heart and mind with a peace and a hope that only he can give you, because it's based on his word, because it's based in his wisdom. Do you trust Christ? Today, I want to give you an opportunity to trust Christ. Come out of this place of foolishness. Come out of this place of hopelessness. I want us to pray and ask that God would give us that we might have the mind of Christ. Father, thank you for people right now that all of a sudden it's like a light's going on, and they're understanding the path that they've been on and the foolishness and the direction that it's taking them. And today we declare that Jesus, you are the light. And so God, begin to give them understanding. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that brings conviction, showing us where we have erred, where we've been wrong. God, would you give us the gift of repentance now, where people, God, begin to understand their own sin, their own rebellion, and they would experience the wonderful gift of grace today, that you put favor into their lives and you've forgiven them. God, we come out of these places that have caused strife and division and confusion, and we come into where we walk in clarity in my minds and peace in our hearts. And so we trust you for that, and we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, it's been great having you with us. We are thankful every week to all those that listen to this message, and we're praying for you this week.
You've been listening to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. Our service times are Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 9:30. Please visit our website at cornerstoneup.com or call us at 906-663-4700. Cornerstone Church, loving God, loving people, serving the world.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, no matter the season. Talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Eyes started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzz warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 48. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Isolated rain showers again tonight. Lows level off around 31. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 45. Daytime highs approaching 46. Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. 51. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Wednesday. Another look at the short range. A high of 48 today. Lows level off around 31 tonight. We should top off around 45 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 35.
Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls, in cooperation with St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Butternut, now bring you the Lutheran Hour on 98 Q Country. each Sunday morning at 8:30.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Tomorrow, our listeners in Canada celebrate Thanksgiving. Today, guest speaker Pastor Keith Haberstock finds inspiration for thankfulness in the 23rd Psalm and its image of Christ as the Good Shepherd.
When we open our eyes and ears to the fact that only with and in our Shepherd, the world's one and only true leader, no matter whatever comes our way, and wherever that is, we are blessed. Therefore, whatever and wherever, thank you, Lord.
Coming up next here on the Lutheran Hour. Later, Lutheran Hour speaker Dr. Michael Ziegler continues our discussion with Bible scholar and author Dr. Tim Seleska. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Thanks for making the Lutheran Hour part of your day. And thank you for your faithful support. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. The Reverend Keith Haberstock is missionary pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada. Now with today's message, here is Pastor Haberstock.
Blessed Thanksgiving weekend to each of you Canadian souls out there. What? Our American friends and others in the world are saying, Canadians have their Thanksgiving celebration in October? Yes, we do. And we invite you, wherever you are, to join us, maybe minus the turkey and all the fixins, to be reminded of the one and only one who is there to lead each of us daily along his path of righteousness for his name's sake and our daily and eternal blessing. Come along, one and all, and may we each of us, grow in being truly thankful. Our opening prayer. Dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our daily shepherd, we face all sorts of things every day, and where are you? You're right there with us every single step of the way in life and in death. On this Canadian Thanksgiving Sunday weekend, we thank you for that truth. The truth that you are always right beside us, making, leading, restoring, comforting, preparing, serving, and anointing us as your own sheep who need a shepherd, who need you. So often we are forgetful and wandering away, and yet you continue and will never fail to lead and guide us. Forgive us, O Lord, and teach us how to be blessed to thank you. Amen and amen. It is a blessing to share God's word with you over the airways or via your screen or podcast this Canadian Thanksgiving. God exalt our giving thanks to him this day and daily. When I shared with someone that I had been given Psalm 23 as the text for our Thanksgiving sermon, they said, "Really? Psalm 23 for Thanksgiving?" Truth is, when I think of Psalm 23, the first two images that pop into my mind are of a very dark valley and our shepherd ever leading us. Each of us, in recalling a well-known or studied portion of Scripture, of which Psalm 23 ranks right near the top, has opinions and thoughts that arise in our gray matter. Pictures of our emotions come to the fore, no doubt, depending on how we have previously experienced the text. For me, Psalm 23 has always ranked as a funeral psalm. And having studied the text often in the past, interestingly enough, most often in connection with a funeral, I guess that's where I've always pictured that it fits best. However, I've already confessed to our shepherd my sin of tunnel vision about this text and received from him both forgiveness and the joy that comes from seeing just how truly thanksbringing this text really is. When we open our eyes and ears to the fact that only with and in our shepherd, the world's one and only true leader, no matter whatever comes our way, and wherever that is, we are blessed. Therefore, whatever and wherever, thank you, Lord. As I opened my Bible and read, studied, and prayed over the text, and then proceeded to a few commentaries, God made his point very clear to me that Psalm 23 is, in fact, a Thanksgiving text. The very first words I read after my initial study with him were these from our brother Martin Luther. The beginning notes of our Lutheran study Bibles on Psalm 23 are as follows. A psalm of thanks which a Christian heart praises and thanks God for teaching him and keeping him on the right way, comforting and protecting him in every danger through his word. Truly, haste and tunnel vision are not the best leg to stand on. A psalm of thanks in which a Christian heart praises and thanks God for teaching him. Thank you, Lord, for your speedy teaching of me, your servant. So Psalm 23, a psalm of thanksgiving on this Canadian Thanksgiving Sunday. And yet, where best to thank the Lord of heaven and earth, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, outside of every day and Thanksgiving Sunday, but at a funeral for one of the Lord's sheep. 2 weeks before I was first asked to prepare the message for today, I was honored to be invited to join in leading a service of worship and praise of God in remembrance of my uncle, Mr. Alan Ivan Al Massier. Really, my uncle is not my uncle, but rather my godfather. However, I've always called him Uncle Al and my godmother Aunt Betty. They were blood family, not biological blood family, but Jesus blood family, friends and faithful servants of the Lord, which my parents asked more than a few decades ago, not only to keep me daily in their thoughts and prayers, but also to remind me of my Savior. Uncle Al and Aunt Betty did just that. Aunt Betty told me after the funeral service that she and Uncle Al were very proud and thankful that I had followed God's call into the ministry. They were true to their commitment to encourage me way past the rite of confirmation. Over the years, they visited my wife and I in the places where God had called me as a pastor and even made the trek with my parents to the other side of the world to visit us when we served as missionaries in Ukraine. Uncle Al had supplied some preferred passages for the day of his funeral. Being a strong man of God, he chose Ephesians 2:8-10 and Psalm 23, and his pastor added the Great Commission as the gospel in Matthew 28. The sermon title, Life Along the Road. Pastor Geese did a great job of leading all of us in seeing the path before us in life. The fact that as baptized children of God, we were all placed on God's road, and wherever we were on that path, we were called by him to walk with him and by his strength. Ted wove in the fact that Uncle Al was a civil engineer who built roads all over Saskatchewan, meeting Aunt Betty along the way. I heard how God led Uncle Al along the road with his God-given gifts to direct others as an elder of their congregation and on the evangelism committee in the central region. I was blessed and thankful to be reminded of how God steered and used Uncle Al in the lives of others and in my own life. When thinking of the road or path we walk upon, we might ask, where is God as we walk along the path of life into whatever we may encounter? Is he really there? That's a good question. And our shepherd well answers that question in our Thanksgiving Day psalm. Where is he? Well, he's right here with us. After all, where can one tending the sheep be but with the sheep? Please hear where God says he is as we walk through Psalm 23. And as you see his location, thank him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. More than a few years ago, in order to make my infant son lie down and go to sleep, we would stay with him in his room for a bit and then move baby monitor on to another location in our home. Hallelujah, he was a good sleeper because my wife and I became parents later along on the path. To make my little lamb sleep, I did not say, go upstairs and go to bed, and then head out shopping or to mow the lawn or to blow the snow off the driveway. We were there with him. And thank you, Lord, for restful green pastures, including Mosaic Stadium. But how does God know the pastures are green? Of course, he's all-knowing. However, our text, in its context, has the shepherd making leading, restoring, comforting, preparing, serving, and anointing the sheep. Talk about a ministry of presence. He's always right there with us. He leads me beside still waters. If he's not right there, how can he see that the waters are still? If he's not right there with us, but says, hey, sheep, head over there in that direction, and in a while you'll come to a river. You and I, being the sheep we are, will almost assuredly not walk beside the waters, but right into the waters. And if those waters are raging, well, wet wool not only stinks, it sinks. Thank you, Lord, that you are near to lead, direct, and fully care for us. He restores my soul. I've never done any restoring other than restoring my green lawn to its proper length so that we can enjoy it and the flowers and the trees in the backyard during a barbecue supper. I've watched a few car restoring episodes with my son, and in every single incident, the car never restored itself. It takes a restorer to restore. Truth is, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not only in the creating business, but also, and alleluia for this, they are in the redeeming, restoring business, and even beyond that, in the sanctifying, making perfect business. Talk about restoring on a whole other level. Thank you, Lord, for your daily restoration work of each of us, your chosen kids. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our shepherd is with us to lead us along paths of his own making, paths of righteousness. Why? Because you and I never come by, find, or walk along such paths by our own making. That's not at all in our power. These paths are not our own. It's God who does this, and not only for our benefit, but for his glory, for his name's sake. He leads us into blessing to be with him on paths and directions that will perfect us and prayerfully attract others so that his name will be uplifted. And when that happens, your heart and mine, and prayerfully the hearts of others whom yet do not even know their shepherd and savior, will be eternally consecrated. If God is not there with us, in us, there is no way any path we take will be upright or joyful in any meaningful or lasting level. Even in death, God is right beside us. He's not a scaredy cat saying, see you on the other side of this whole thing in front of you. Hope you make it. And if so, I'll catch up with you. If that's the kind of God you think you have, you've got the wrong one. The one true God, the only God of the universe, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is afraid of nothing. And in everything that might startle us or cause us to shake with fear, he says, I have you in my ever-present nail-pierced hands. Fear not. You are mine. Through God's gift to us of saving faith, we know and believe that Jesus, even in death, his own death in our place, didn't turn and run away from it. He stood there and took the stripes, hung there between heaven and earth for you and me, his sheep, and for every other sheep that has ever or will ever live. He did not run away even from his own death in the place of every single human being, and so forgave everyone everything and gives us what we do not deserve. Thank you, Jesus. Please forgive us for not seeing where you are in whatever we face every day. Fact is, you and I often drift from the truth that God is right here to comfort us as our ever-present shepherd, as only he can. And yet, he is at work in our lives with his tools of offense and defense, with a rod to beat off lions and wolves, and alleluia, once and for all stomped on the head of our evil foe, the deceiving snake. And with his staff, he is ever directing us both away from cliffs and closer to the water of which we daily, daily need to drink. Thank you, Lord, for your constant caring, nudging, and your almighty presence. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't know about your table, but ours doesn't prepare itself. Maybe I need a new table. Do meals just shazam appear on your table? And I'm not talking here about HelloFresh and skip the dishes. Or does your table set itself? Ours doesn't. All our meals call for food to be prepared and a table to be set. A food preparer and a table setter. In our life as God's sheep, he serves us. Did you get that? God Almighty, he's the one with us and caring for us no matter the company. In the presence of any danger, and there are an overabundance out there of those, he's there, feeding and caring and well doing exactly what we need, shepherding us. Thank you, Lord. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In spades, the Lord has taught me, and prayerfully you also, that Psalm 23 is a thanksgiving psalm. He anoints our heads, which is the Old Testament way of saying he chooses us as kings. He makes us a part of his royal household. Man, are we blessed as his kids. And it's not like he does it on a skimpy budget. He gives us all that he has as our own. All that is his is ours. But please don't get him wrong. You and I can have everything and yet may have very, very, very little in this world by comparison to so many others, which, if we're looking at them, means we're not looking at him and we're in danger of idolizing or worshiping others or stuff. Our very little, though we have so much, resting securely in faith in the one true God is eternally more than anyone else will ever have without him. No matter what we face with our shepherd leading us, daily granting us his kids, his goodness and mercy, he gives us, and not just at our death, but at this very instance, this moment, his dwelling. You have heaven. It's yours from God as a gift through faith right now. Your purpose in life is not to get heaven. It's already yours. And you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus. Yet you and I so often wrongly, sinfully believe that we are our own masters in control of it all, making our own paths in life, off to strike it rich. Wow, look at us human beings, so powerful, so much knowledge. Not. In fact, never on our own. As I write these words, fires barrel up upon Yellowknife, Hay River, and many other communities in Northwest Territories, and toward Kelowna and other communities in the Okanagan Valley, BC. In so many places, people have had to flee their homes for their lives. Did our fellow Canadians plan that? Did the people of Maui plan for their devastating fires? Do persons in cancer wards plan for their lives to become so burdened? In so many ways, we say and believe that we are in control of life along the path. We're not. Truth is, we need help. And thanks be to God, he's always right there to help us, always right there beside you. As Paul shared with our Roman brothers and sisters and us, let God be true, though everyone were a liar. May we never listen to sheep with starry eyes wandering around, believing and bleating that we are the masters of our own destiny. We, and all sheep, are not. We are all sheep who need leading and help to keep us on his path and our heads out of the dark ditches we continually find ourselves heading into. Our shepherd is not distant, but present, leading us through dark passages and whatever else we'll face. The fires of our lives, those sicknesses and tragedies of to self and others, he's present for each of us to lean hard into. And when death comes, our own or that of a loved one, as Aunt Betty and family are facing, and so many, many others, we can lift our heads and hearts high and give thanks to the only one whom not only is assisting us, but often carrying us along the path. We thank you, Lord, for your love in bringing us to yourself at the quiet waters of holy baptism, where you forgave us and made us your own lambs. We thank you that all along the path you weekly offer us the holy food of your word and your sacraments, so that we are well fed and sustained and therefore well guided by you as to where to best place our feet along the path. We thank you, our shepherd, for the truth that the path is never ours, that you are the one that leads us along paths of righteousness for your name's sake. If it were up to us, and hallelujah, it's not, we only would be wandering away and into never-ending ditches. With your rod and staff, please keep guiding us all the way home. Thank you, Lord. Where is our shepherd? With us, making, leading, restoring, comforting, preparing, serving, and anointing us, his needy sheep. He's with you wherever you are and in whatever you're facing. God truly has you. Thank him. Hallelujah and amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, archived audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org. Joining us now, here's Lutheran Hour speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Thank you, Mark. We are visiting with Dr. Tim Seleska, professor and author of a commentary on the Book of Psalms. We've been talking for a while about reading and listening to the Psalms as individual Christians, you know, meditating on them in our quiet time, as it's sometimes called. Today, I want to talk about how do we do this with other people in community. And one thing I've noticed that maybe I'll admit it's sometimes frustrating when you do a Bible study on the Psalms and you read a Psalm and everybody has their own ideas about what it means and where it the thoughts take them. And sometimes I'm like a systemized kind of thinker and it feels a little chaotic. Yeah. And I just wish people would stay on topic. For others who are like me, who feel that way, how would you counsel us, those who feel frustrated in this way?
That's the desire for interpretive control, which we all like, especially if we're a pastor. And one of the things that is the brilliance of poetry is that it is the kind of text that gives rise to many different meanings and insights. In other words, it's not written like a legal document in which the document is written to narrow interpretive possibilities. Poetry is written to increase them, and that's something to rejoice in. When people get too far off the track, obviously we try to draw them back in. But again, the Psalms don't deliver golden nuggets of cognitive truth that we're trying to dig out, right? Neither do conversations. What they do is engage your mind and heart to see many different possibilities. It's like looking at a work of art. Everyone sees something different. Great movie, everyone sees something different. And you start talking about it and pointing it out, and you learn from each other and grow that way. And that's one of the delights of it, I think.
In one of our earlier conversations, you had us think about this discussion in some sense with the psalm and being honest about where we can identify, where we can't identify. And maybe different people in the group will, right, of course, they're going to identify with different parts.
The Psalms are the prayers and cries of God's people as we wait for the Lord to deliver on his promises, and the waiting gets long. So in a sense, we're all in a vulnerable position. We all have our weaknesses. We all have our sins. And those are the kinds of things that the psalm can help us articulate and think about together in the light of the gospel and who we are as God's people.
And of course, as Christians studying the Bible, we are going to want to see how things point to Jesus, lead to Jesus, to the bigger story of Scripture. How, as a leader, how do you help people start to make those connections?
So I think that that's important. I always have to tell people, don't just jump to Jesus, because it stops the conversation. So if you say, just to take this classic example, the Lord is my shepherd, oh, that's Jesus. I'm not saying that's not true, but why does David say that in the Old Testament? See, there's a whole tapestry of passages in which Yahweh functions as Israel's shepherd that tells them something about who their God is. So that when you get to Jesus, who calls himself the Good Shepherd, he's not just using an image from first century Israel that makes sense to people because they knew about shepherds and sheep. The metaphor is informed by the Old Testament, tells us who Jesus is in its light. You bypass all of that when you always make this jump to Jesus. But some people want to do that because then you don't have to think about the psalm anymore. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. That's Jesus, etc. Let's move on.
Yeah, and you miss the richness. We found the interpretation. Yeah.
Correct. So the psalm isn't challenging at all when actually it can be deeply challenging.
Bible study is something that we think of Christians normally doing. Mm-hmm. What about reading the psalms with a person who's not in the Christian faith, mm-hmm. maybe has a different religious faith, or maybe no religious faith at all? What, how could that work? Do you think you could read the psalms with someone like that, and how would that work?
I do think that because the experiences that they reflect are common to humans in general. There are counselors who read through psalms because it helped articulate people's experiences, give voice to the inner landscape of their hearts, so to speak, that they needed to articulate.
Well, thank you for talking through this with us. You're helping me not be frustrated when there's no interpretive control, and to celebrate how the psalm is impacting the people that I'm reading them with.
You're very welcome, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
Now, Pastor Haberstock leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is brought to you each week through the support of our faithful listeners. We rely on your prayers and gifts. To learn how you can support and extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. Join us next week as Dr. Ziegler reflects on Psalm 80 and the story of a lounge singer on the lam. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
Has decided to learn to paint, and she's good.
My dad's now into creative cuisine, and I've already put on 6 pounds.
Learning new things comes with age.
My mom, she started forgetting my name and what we're talking about.
Forgetting well-known things doesn't. Memory loss may be a sign of Alzheimer's disease. Early detection gives you and your loved one time to plan for the future. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Oftentimes, the wheelchairs our veterans and first responders receive from their healthcare providers are subpar at best. Some are falling apart with a years-long waiting list for a new one. This lag causes a tremendous amount of stress for our heroes and creates a burden for their caregivers. Isolation leads to depression. We build what they need to get outdoors, hunting, fishing, or playing sports. Join the mission at wheelchairsforwarriors.org.
Hey, Joe, I thought you were retired.
Living on a fixed income is tough. So here I am, an essential worker.
I know. I mean, food prices are going up every day. Thank goodness for benefitscheckup.org.
Benefits what?
BenefitsCheckup.org. It's a free website where people over 60 can find help to pay for food, medicine, even utilities. I got $1,200 a year in benefits. Maybe it can help you.
Hey you, stop and listen. This is a public service announcement with Dakari Chapman. Why should you know your constitution and why should you know your rights as a U.S. citizen? How would you like it if someone didn't allow your club to meet at your house? I wouldn't, because that's not cool. How would you like to be tried without a jury? I wouldn't, because that's not cool. These things are not cool. Learn your rights as a U.S. citizen so you know what to do in these situations. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's an American thing, so learn it.
Liberty. It's an American thing. From AmericanThing.org.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church in Park Falls now invite you to join them in their regular Sunday morning service of worship, now in their 70th year of broadcasting. Peace Lutheran Church offers these services in order to bring the comfort and instruction of God's holy word to the sick, the shut-in, and the traveler. The liturgy for today comes from the Lutheran Service Book, Divine Service 3, page 184. Hymns to be sung today are taken from the Lutheran Service Book, number 527, O Savior, Precious Savior. Number 575, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And number 653, In Christ There Is No East or West. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Reverend Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is The King is Coming. The sermon text is Matthew 22, 34 through 46. We take you now to the sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.